podcast of The Next CMO hosted by Plana. My name is Kelsey and I'm the Senior Marketing Manager here at Plana. And we have Peter as well.
Yes, and I'm Peter Mahoney. I'm the founder and CEO of Plana.
For this week, we have Mark Dunningham as our guest. Mark is the VP of Marketing at Beamer. He currently leads corporate and product marketing, some growth initiatives, and digital PR events. We're so excited to have him on our podcast today. How are you doing this afternoon?
It's great to be here. I'm doing well. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Kelsey.
Well, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about Beamer and what you do there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a really interesting company. We enable media, and that would be videos and photos, to be delivered on the internet without harming internet stability. We're a video software technology company, and our solutions are used by, you know, some of the largest video streaming services in the world. The space that we focus on is called video encoding. And specifically, we have proprietary technology that enables videos and photos to be reduced by half without any perceptual change in visual quality. And so this is what the company does. We're 10 years old and really having fun right now.
Well, that's great, Mark. I spent a lot of time in the video business myself. I worked in the 1990s for a company called PictureTel that did the video conferencing, and we had highly lossy compression, and you have lossless-ish kind of compression, I guess, in your mode. And I can tell you, as the parent of several young adults, they are all very happy that you've been able to keep their streaming services alive over the last couple of weeks here. So thank you.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it? You know, with everybody at home now, and there really is a very significant test, if you will, that's happening on the internet. But the internet's holding up very, very well.
Going towards Beamer and really your marketing strategy. So, as a streaming service provider and movie studios, how do you bring your products to market?
Yeah, so we have a relatively constrained market in the sense that even though the streaming video ecosystem, the video ecosystem is massive, especially when you take into account social networks and video conferencing and all of the various applications, but we primarily address entertainment video distribution and then the largest user-generated platforms. And so that would be like social networks effectively. So our universe, if you will, or, you know, to use marketing speak, our TAM is relatively constrained. It's more than dozens. It's, you know, maybe in the low hundreds, but it's not even approaching the high hundreds or thousands. And so that allows us to approach the market directly. We have a very, we're very connected in the ecosystems that we sell to. And, you know, really, this is just a one-on-one effort.
Is your marketing approach aligned to more of a classic ABM strategy, or do you use something different?
100%. It is ABM. And what's interesting is, you know, of course there's companies that have been started as ABM companies. It's a category, right? But in reality, if you really got to the foundational elements of how we approach the market, what we've done, what our tactics have been, what our strategy has been, you would say, oh, you're executing ABM. And I'd say, yeah, 100%. You know, we don't walk around and you know, necessarily use all that same terminology. But it is about, really, if you think about account-based marketing, it's really nothing more than clearly understanding who the influencers are. I'm not even going to use the word buyer, because the buying process now is so fragmented at the really all B2B. But, you know, especially in the world that we're in, it's not uncommon that we could map 20 influencers in an account.
How do you do that in a digital world, especially when you're dealing with sometimes anonymous people inside who are inside your prospects. You may not know who they are. So is it, do you just really do persona based messaging on your website, or can you target in a more refined way than that?
Yeah. So it's a good question. So I like to think of, you know, one of the things I've shifted my thinking around is everyone talks about their sales process or their sales funnel. Right. And certainly I think depending on what we're selling and how transactional that sale is, it's always good to map your process. So I'm not saying that, but I think the more transactional, the easier it is to have a step one, a step two, a step three, and you really, corral the buyer, you know, into that. So they don't jump from step one to step three, you know, or step four. And some of that's just required as part of your process. But what we're finding, and again, I think a lot of marketers are finding is that the buyer is in control, and they're going to enter the funnel at the point they darn well please.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what you're saying is not inconsistent with what a lot of B2B marketers who deal with a complex buying cycle are going through. They're mapping personas to buying journeys, and it's almost maybe a buying checklist versus a buying journey, right? Because they can do it in whatever order they want. They've just got to check most of the boxes.
So totally agree. You still ultimately need them to check the boxes, but hey, check them in the order that you wish.
I think a lot of your understanding too between the functions come from your experience, you know, in the marketing and the sales role. So, you know, understanding these two functions and the importance of the alignment, how are you creating that relationship between the two?
It's more than just being empathetic or being a good partner with the sales head or the chief revenue officer or whoever is primarily driving sales. It's about really understanding the psyche, the process, understanding the buyer. It's ringing the cash register today, whatever that looks like for the business, you know, that you're in. And then it's also being strategic and laying the groundwork for a foundation so that the market ultimately not only continues to see you as the leader and as the number one choice, and hopefully, you know, if category design has been done and done well, then as the kind of the only choice, the default choice in that space. But balancing that strategic and the immediate is a challenge. Now, I think, you know, a couple thoughts that I have on this, you know, based on experience is this is where a relationship with the chief executive and a relationship, and I'm speaking from like a CMO perspective or vice president of marketing, the relationship with the chief executive and a relationship with, again, the head of sales is absolutely essential, because that is a team of three. You know, that's a three-stranded cord there, that if that relationship is solid, and if there's trust, and if there's respect, and if there is agreement, not saying that it always has to be, you know, in fact, it shouldn't be everybody just agreeing, because then, you know, maybe that means that it's the easy way and that there's actually a better path. You know, I think healthy debate and discussion and disagreement is actually a very, very good thing between those three leaders. But at the end of the day, there has to be a disagree and commit. And if that is in place, then that's how you balance that need for marketing to do, shall we say, the shorter term things, while also balancing and getting the support for medium to long term. Without that, the marketing leader's going to really struggle. And it's unfortunately probably not going to end that well.
Well, that's great advice. I appreciate that, Mark. And I think you take a very strategic view into the function, obviously, which we really appreciate. And one of the things we try and do with this particular podcast is is mix some of that strategic with some practical and tactical stuff. So we wanted to kind of, as we wrap toward the end of our session here, bring up a couple of things that are just super practical and tactical that we can take to our audience. So first, I wanted to start with video. You're a deep expert in video, obviously. You probably were before, but you've certainly had to become one working at Beamer. But as you generically look at applying video to marketing, obviously marketers are applying video technologies more and more into their marketing mix. It may not be directly in your space, but I bet you know a lot about it. What are a couple of things that marketers should think about as they're applying video to their marketing tactics?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to say anything that nobody has heard already. I mean, in other words, everybody's already heard what I'm going to say, but there's a couple things that are just amazing about this kind of new world that we're in, this work from world, is I think what it's done is it's freed all of us up to allow our humanness to be seen. And what I mean by that is, and you see it, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. I think, you know, all the listeners, you know, everybody's seen this where, you know, it's the Zoom call where there's, you know, 8 tiled video windows or 16 windows, and you look across it. And here are, you know, here's a team of people, in some cases, a wide range of disciplines and maybe levels. There's senior people on there, et cetera. And yet, you know, there's people clearly in their gym clothes. There's people, you know, there's people with kids stuff in the background of the camera. There's, you know, in other words, it's our life. And I think what's really awesome is before this, you know, there was a little bit of maybe a hesitancy or a concern, like, I need to present a certain kind of an image to the market. And I want to do video, but, you know, we need somebody to do some editing. We need green screens. We need all this equipment. And even if it wasn't so much feeling the need to go invest in a lot of video gear, it required, the feeling was it required a level of professionalism that maybe that marketing team didn't have. Now, let me tell you, I think some of the most effective is to just do what we're doing now. You set up a camera. I happen to have a slightly upgraded, little more expensive, you know, streaming webcam. But at the end of the day, it's just a webcam and it's just Zoom. And, you know, you can see part of my home office bookshelf here, you know, my environment looks into one of my eating areas in the house. And, you know, like, I'm in my house, you know, and this is my world. And this is primarily where I work. And this is absolutely a professional enough environment that I can create videos that talk to, again, you know, it's not B2B, it's H to H, it's human to human. And that's what we're doing. So my, you know, kind of number one advice, I guess, around the area of video for marketers is just do it. Just get started.
Yep. I think authenticity goes a long way. And
100%.
And clearly they won't see this on the podcast, but Mark is a hoarder and there are giant piles of, no, I'm kidding. It's a very authentic kind of experience that you communicate when you use video, especially when you use it from your home office, but just in general, if you don't try to overproduce things, it's got to be good enough. The audio has got to be clean enough, but as Correct. Long as you can communicate, then I think you're good.
Yes. You know, talking about being human, we, as marketers, it's so easy to make mistakes, right? You redirect someone to a broken link or you send the wrong personalization token with an email. So I got to ask you, Mark, what is the biggest mistake you've made in marketing?
Oh, wow. This one actually is embarrassing because I did it for way too long. I knew better. And yet, you know, and what it was trying to move people from 0 to 10 in a single interaction. You know, driving everyone to a CTA, everything having to be, you know, some catchy headline, and then driving them to a CTA, which ultimately was like one step removed from asking for a PO. if I'm trying to drive everybody through a CTA, but I can't assume that somebody's coming in already with a certain level of knowledge about us or about their need or, you know, about other technology options in the market, et cetera. And so that was, that's probably one of the biggest mistakes. I mean, I've made all the other typical blunders, right? Like you say, you know, broken links and stuff that, you know, autoresponders send the wrong email, things like that.
Yeah, I can tell you, Mark, that is not only incredibly common, but it's common across marketing disciplines. So when I was in my last role, I was the CMO of a pretty big public company, and we had a bunch of direct-to-consumer kind of sales motions too. And we would put in front of people selling them voice recognition software for $200. And we always want to put the buy button and take the credit card. And the reality is that for a consumer, $200 is a lot of money. Turns out that even when you think of something as a quick impulse purchase, the reality is that you have to court them a little bit first, and you have to get to the point where there's a longer consideration phase. So it happens in consumer-y things. It happens probably a lot more in business things where people don't have patience. And some of it is we're all feeling pressure to move things along. Yeah. So let's talk about your success though. I know you've had a storied career, but give us one quick example of something that really is a great successful campaign that you've run in the past.
We chose to launch a podcast, and we did a couple things that were a little bit unique. We did not hide the brand. So at the end, we say that it's sponsored by Beamer, but we agreed internally, and this gets back to where internal agreement as the CMO, having trust and agreement between the CMO, your CEO, who presumably you'd be reporting to, or you know certainly whoever you report to, and then the sales head, agreeing on the strategy is critical. So I said, look, I want to do this podcast, but I don't want to hide Beamer. My co-host is going to be our CTO. We are well known enough that people are, you know, people know, hey, it's Mark Donegan and Dror Gill. They work for Beamer. So just by that association, they know it's a Beamer production. But I don't want to talk about Beamer. I don't want this to always be sort of a pressure that we're going to find a way to connect, to Beamer news or to Beamer announcement. I want this to be about the industry and building the industry. And we're going to bring thought leaders on. We're going to interview them. And by the nature of setting the stage, and then, hopefully we will have sufficient listenership who will then listen, then naturally they are going to explore us, and it's going to open up opportunities. And this worked like gangbusters. We have people listening and giving us feedback on the podcast who we previously would try to approach, and they were very difficult to get business meetings with. They never wanted to meet with us. And yet they will send a note and say, hey, I liked your episode on such and such. Now, do you think that is an amazing connection for Beamer to have this person thinking about the value they received on this podcast that was presented by Beamer? Yes, absolutely. The answer is yes. It's done so much for us. And so our really number one and it's a channel. It really is a marketing channel. That's how we think about it. And yet we don't talk about Beamer. And so now we are 42 episodes in. We were 127, which sounds like, well, geez, that's not good. But on the technology charts for iTunes, which when you consider out of the 200,000 podcasts and, you know, however many there are out there, we were kind of like, wow, there's people that actually like are listening, you know? So we're really happy.
That's amazing, Mark. And now even you've got more reach because you can now reach both of our listeners. That's, which is pretty exciting. Both?
All right. Hey,
exactly.
Well, you know, I'm gonna promote this. And so, you know, we'll get a total of four.
There you go. Well, my last question to kind of wrap up the formal part of this, Mark, is my favorite one, because one of the reasons we branded this the next CMO is not only because we want to talk about what the future of the CMO will be, but we want to address the future CMOs, people who are earlier in their career, who really are going to be the future of the field going forward. So with that in mind, what advice would you have for someone earlier on in their career who might want to be a CMO sometime in the future?
Yeah, I have three pieces of advice. Number one, I already said it, learn to sell. And I literally mean learn to sell. Go out on sales calls. If you don't have a sales background, that's okay. You have to start somewhere, but get out on sales calls. Learn to call. Be the number one executive in your office who, when someone outside of sales is invited to a big meeting, be that person. It's critical. So number one, learn to sell. Number two, learn your industry. But it goes beyond, I think anybody who's functioning, especially in a marketing leadership role, you know your industry. So you're kind of like, yeah, well, I already know that. But learn your ecosystem. And I use the ecosystem word very intentionally, because ecosystem is different than competitors. You probably also know your competitors, and you probably know very well, maybe even their product better than they do. That's not what I'm talking about. Yes, that's important. I'm talking about the ecosystem. Where do you fit in the ecosystem? When you are on a sales call, when you are listening to feedback, and somebody is giving you an objection or explaining why you're not relevant to them, if you don't know the ecosystem, you don't know if they're right or wrong. And half the time, more than half the time, they're wrong. Now, obviously, we don't tell them they're wrong, but you have to know the ecosystem. And if you don't know the ecosystem, then, you know, I've fallen into this trap of running back. Hey, we need this feature. We need that feature. Oh, we're missing this. Oh, we're overpriced here. Oh, we're underpriced, you know. But because I didn't understand the ecosystem, I actually was bringing back feedback that was not accurate. It wasn't correct. So number one, learn to sell. Number two, learn the ecosystem. And number three, as a marketing leader, you know, I'm going to assume, because there's just no way you can assume the role without being great in at least one of the functional areas of marketing. So, you know, maybe you're an excellent writer, you're an excellent verbal communicator, you have just a ton of brand, maybe you're creative. So there's probably one area where you are a legitimate, you're an expert. But you need to be able to function in the rest of the positions. Now, I don't mean be an expert, but you need to be able to function, because if you, for two reasons. One is it will build credibility and loyalty among your team. So if you can sit down and you can actually go into HubSpot, or you can go into Pardot yourself, And you can say, hey, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know this tool very well, but here's a chat flow that I came up in HubSpot. What, you know, can you guys, you know, take that a little bit further? Boy, that's going to give a whole nother level of willingness for the team to pull together than just saying, hey, we need to go do this, go figure it out. It's very different. Also, I found it to be very, very helpful in designing tactics, because, you know, we're talking about tactical things, so that then when people are giving me feedback, I have a more accurate grid to process that. And so I found that being obviously excellent at one thing, and if you're excellent at more than one thing, that's awesome. But, you know, is table stakes, as they say, but you need to be able to fill the other roles as well.
I agree. Pick a major, understand the ecosystem, and learn to sell. I think that's fantastic advice for those people who want to be the next CMO out there. And I think they will all appreciate it and listen to Mark, because he seems to know what he's talking about. Well, with that, Mark, I wanted to thank you for some great insights, a great opportunity to get to know you a little bit better and get to know Beamer a little bit better and the research that we did. Super excited about what you've done in your career and what Beamer is doing. And I think with that, Kelsey's going to take us home. Right, Kelsey?
Yes. Thank you so much, Mark, for your time today. It was such a pleasure talking to you, learning a little bit more about Beamer and just your strategy as a VP. So make sure to follow the Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can email them at thenextcmo@plana.com. Have a great day, everyone.